Welcome everybody to another life-changing episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and the Roomba Whisperer, Stephen Robles. But we also have another guest this time. As we told you last time, we have the Eve CEO. What? Hold. He's not. It's Tim. He can't. It's Tim again. Who let him in the studio? We'll roll with it. We'll roll with it. We'll make it work. Sorry. What I meant to say is we have Tim. Tim Booth from Eve Systems is back with us again. He was so excited that he just usurped the CEO and came in his stead. How you doing, Tim?
That's what I did. Hello. I'm really happy to be back again.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, I think this is our first time having a guest back, right, Stephen? Like, this is like our first time. For everyone listening, there is confetti everywhere right now. There's like a party.
That's right.
There's confetti going on. This is exciting.
Our main reasoning for doing this was, of course, that you did such a great job last time pronouncing my name. So introducing a new name to the game, that seemed kind of unfair.
Right.
So we saw you guys struggling with that last time. So we figured this would be much easier since you did such a perfect job last time.
I would like all of our listeners to just think about what Tim just said and that I pronounced his name correctly when he was on the show. Perfectly, I think he said verbatim. And I just want that down for the record. So thank you all. Thank you, Tim.
You just ignore the part where he threw the shade.
I know, there was a lot of shade there, too.
For not being able to pronounce Jerome's name.
That's all right. All right, well, let's hit some news, and then we can talk to Tim about Eve and the new Eve device that was recently announced, the Eve Weather. So we'll talk about that in a few moments, but first, we'll hit some news real quick. Elgato, and they announced a new light strip, adding to the Eve light strip and the Hue light strip. Andrew, do you have any info on that?
Yeah, I do. So, and I just thought that was really funny that this happened today while we have Eve on the call, because for like longtime HomeKit fans know that it was Elgato and then Eve was the brand, Elgato was the company and then the Eve was like their HomeKit line, and they split off. Corsair took Elgato, which was like their Thunderbolt docks and Mac peripherals, as well as their like TV and gaming solutions and stuff like that. So those went to Corsair, and then Eve continued on doing purely HomeKit smart home stuff. And today, Elgato announced a new light strip as well as some light panels. Now, to be clear, these are not HomeKit enabled, but they do work with Mac. So I just thought it was interesting that these are coming out today as we have Eve on the call. So not HomeKit compatible, and these are clearly meant more for gaming to set up your, you know, awesome setup and everything. Of course, HomeKit lights would work just as well. But kind of neat to see more stuff coming out there. And I particularly like that they included Mac users in the equation here this time. A lot of times for gaming peripherals, Macs are left out of the picture. So I'm glad that they're included in there, so you could probably find some way to connect everything together with your HomeKit gear.
Cool. Well, also, a new app has come out that integrates with Sonos speakers. This is called the Soro app, S-O-R-O. We'll put a link in show notes to it. But it's actually an app that will give you steps and access to shortcuts where you can actually control your Sonos speakers and devices in shortcuts. Now, this is kind of like a third-party integration. This is not directly from Sonos, but it will allow you to do things like set volume on certain Sonos devices, play, pause, stop, all that kind of stuff, set a sleep timer or even a line input, and you can do all that in the shortcuts through the Soro app that then integrates with the Sonos speakers. So if you're looking to, you know, add some new shortcuts or some new automations to your Sonos speakers, this Soro app might be something to take a look at. Did you try this, Andrew?
Yeah. Do you know, the reason that I found this app is because I whined probably a few episodes back about the inability to change my Sonos system from like night mode to day mode. So like night mode, it cuts out all the low frequencies and makes it like less rumbly, which is perfect when you have other people sleeping in your home. And that was always something that I would do when my wife was sleeping, if I was still up working and watching something on the TV. And he messaged, and like, you couldn't do it. You had to do it like manually through the Sonos app. So you have to like open the Sonos app, wait for it to load, choose like the sound bar for your room, and then switch the mode on. And it was kind of tedious, and more often than not, I just left it on, which kind of ruined your experience the rest of the time. But I was too lazy to go back and do all those steps. With the Soros app, or the Soro app, you can do that via shortcuts. It's just exposed via shortcuts, and if you would set like a scene or something, like if I could set good night scene, I could actually, in that scene, through shortcuts, change my soundbar mode from like regular mode to that night mode, which is awesome. Or you can just ask Siri to change it. So I love that. Like, that was like the smallest little thing, being able to change that setting on my Sonos Arc and the Sonos Beam. Super, super clutch to have.
Very cool. Well, also Arlo, company makes lots of security cameras. We've talked about them in the past. They released a new wired indoor cam. It's $99. It has two-way audio where you can talk through it if you use the Arlo app, and it has also a built-in siren. There is no HomeKit on this particular Arlo camera, but if you're in the Arlo world and you use some of their other cameras that are HomeKit compatible with their hub, you know, this is another additional camera that you can get for inside if you want to use it in the Arlo ecosystem.
Yeah, and they haven't announced HomeKit in any way for this, but they have been very good at adding HomeKit support to previous products. I mean, between their kids cam, their floodlight cameras, their Pro, their Pro 3, their Ultra, is like they have a huge amount of HomeKit cameras. I'm honestly expecting HomeKit to arrive on this. I wouldn't bank on it, but it's just something I think it's going to happen. The other thing that I like about this guy is got a physical cover for the lens. For people who are very privacy minded, like you have that added layer of like covering the lens if you want to make sure that, you know, the camera is off 100%. Similar to like how we saw on the Logitech Circle View, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can actually tilt it straight down for a privacy mode.
Right. All right, now LifeX, they have released a bacteria-killing light. We talked about this light, I think, a while ago, Andrew. And
it was, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like how The Verge basically confirmed what we said back then.
That's right. But basically that it does kill bacteria. It uses HEV lights, not UV lights. And it does kill bacteria, but it just takes a long time. The Verge said 60 to 90 minutes of the light that could inactivate almost all bacteria in an area after that amount of time. So 60 to 90 minutes to have the effect on the bacteria. But the light was also like 2 centimeters away from the surface that it was killing the bacteria on. So again, this is not like going to make a clean room, you know, if you have one of these LifeX bulbs. But if you do want a light that kills bacteria, this is the one for you, I guess.
Yeah, I think this could be handy with correct automations. And as some of the experts that The Verge had interviewed, they were basically echoing what we said, which was that this is going to do like, it's going to do a decent job in some places if you have it on long enough, but this should not be like your cleaning. You should not decide to, this is how you clean your bathroom by just putting this bulb on. So You still have to clean your bathroom. You still have to do that. This is going to, if you got like spots like behind a toilet, like that's not getting covered by this light that's in a shadow. Right. And I'm pretty sure they did like, it would take like 8 hours from like 2 feet away to do something. So if you have this mountain in your bathroom, 8 feet off the ground, it's going to do near diddly unless you leave it on almost all the time. So Beware that they say this is probably going to be used most for like desktops and stuff like that. And I could see that, you know, anytime you leave your desk or something, like you set an automation at the end of the day and this light turns on to cleaning mode when you leave your office and you come back and your desk is like somewhat sanitized without having to do anything. I could see that.
That's true. You know, and since we have Tim here, Tim, has Eve ever looked at or considered any kind of like bacteria killing light? It seems pretty like a niche thing, but you guys ever thought about it?
Yeah, no, not really. We haven't looked into that. That's not our game at this point.
Gotcha. Okay. Just checking. All right. Well, there has been a couple of new apps that have come out for the Home and HomeKit. One of them is the My Home app for HomeKit, where you can set up some automations. It's by developer. Oh, now this is a pronunciation thing. It's going to get me, Andrew. I don't even know if I should try it. Tim is right here. I could feel him breathing down my neck.
He's over your shoulder. It's very creepy.
I'm going to ask him, Tim, how would you pronounce the first name Joerg?
Yuck.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Sure.
Yorg.
That's what you can say afterwards.
And then the last name, I'm not even going to try it. We're going to put a link in the show notes to this app if you want to try it. But it's the My Home app for home automation. Get a chance to play with this one?
Yeah, just a little bit. There's a lot of like neat things going on here. I mean, it's a very complete HomeKit app. There's a lot of, you know, there's color pickers and automation stuff, device controls, pretty much everything you'd see. There's a lot of different apps out there that are starting to do this and doing it well. This is just another one to kind of add. Like, there's like small things like being able to duplicate a scene and then tweak it. Like, those things are very helpful if you're doing a lot of automations and everything. It's just another cool app to check out. I mean, yeah. I like having multiple apps to kind of pull from when I'm setting up automations and stuff. So you've got Eve on the free side. We talk about the Home Plus app, Home Plus 5 or Home...
Yeah, Plus 5 now.
By Matthew, and that's a great one. Then we've got this new My Home one is a new one to try out if you haven't before. So just kind of another one to add to your arsenal.
Yeah, and another one along those lines, controller for HomeKit. This is by developer Jan Andre. I actually tried this one. It's a Mac app, and you can actually get it on all your devices. You can do iPad, iPhone, and Apple Watch. But it's just, again, another one of these where you can control your HomeKit devices, see your cameras in a different way, do the automations and the scenes. And this one was pretty nice. It's more utilitarian. It's not like, it's kind of like an incredible, you know, attractive design or anything, but it is useful, kind of surfaces all those little options in your devices. So if you want to check that one out as well, we'll put a link to both of those apps in show notes. And before we jump to Eve, I just want to mention, Andrew actually tweeted that the Nano Leaf, the A19 smart bulb, which is HomeKit compatible, was available through the Apple.com store. I'll put a link to it. I'm not sure if it'll still be in stock by the time you hear this episode. But when Andrew tweeted that, I Insta-bought it. And so actually, as we record today, I'll have one of those Nano Leaf bulbs coming in, and I'll be able to talk about it next episode. So I'm excited about that.
You know, Steven, I just think it's funny how Jan over there for controller for HomeKit was able to port his iOS and iPadOS app not only to Apple Silicon on the Mac, but also Intel, just as a one-person team.
Oh, man.
I hear he hired a great intern to pull that off. It must have been, what do you think, Tim?
I think we were promised that intern, if I'm not mistaken. So I never heard anything about that.
Tim called you out. He's waiting. He's waiting for that reference.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, Tim, we're, again, so glad to have you. And with the recent announcement of the Eve Weather Connected Weather Station, you know, Andrew has an article up. We'll put a link in show notes to that. But maybe you could tell us about this new Eve product that you guys just announced, available March 25th.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So basically, what I talked about last time already is Threat, and that we are going to move our whole portfolio to Threat. And this is actually a product update where we did exactly that. This is the successor to Eve Degree. So the main major first important change is, of course, that the product supports Threat, which is awesome for an outdoor product because it makes connectivity just so much easier. But that's not the reason it deserved a new name. So we called it Eve Weather because we kind of worked not only on the Threat integration, but also on the overall functionality of the product. So what we learned from the previous generation that people really loved it to have a display in that product and to just walk outside and look at that display and see the temperature. That's a very groundbreaking thing that people don't need to pull out their phones all the time. So people really like that. With the previous version, we had basically the ability to show one value. So you kind of have to decide between temperature and humidity. So the real innovation here is that you now see both at the same time. Which wasn't still enough. We found one more piece to the puzzle of making this really the best weather station out there. The previous version could already look at air pressure as well. And we did what every traditional weather station also does, and sort of derive a weather trend from that to sort of tell you what the weather might be like 12 hours from now. So all of that rolled into one is now just standalone, a really, really good weather station that can sort of just sit there and you can look at it and get valuable information at a glance. Plus all the stuff we had before, it is HomeKit enabled. You have an app on your phone and you have historic data that you can just dive into at any time that you might want to.
One question I have, because I've actually been looking at getting a HomeKit weather station, but I've been wondering, what kind of information can you surface when you just ask your HomePod? And I see here on the Eve website, you say, you know, you can ask, what's the temperature on the patio? And if you have your Eve weather station out there on the patio, it'll tell you the temperature. What are like all or the most useful things that if I have one of these, once it's available and it's outside and it has the temperature, but what can I ask Siri from like a HomePod for it to tell me? Like, will it tell me weather conditions over Siri if I ask like weather condition on the patio or what the weather's going to be today? It does not do those kind of forecast type things over Siri on a HomePod.
It does not, unfortunately. So from the Siri side of things, the sort of default values that are supported are temperature and humidity. So as you said, you can specifically ask for that. If you include the room name, the HomeKit room name, it will always tell you that specific information. If you don't, as you know, Siri will just default to asking the internet and asking the weather service. But lots of the times it's very valuable to just not get some information from some remote measuring station that is accessed through the internet, but your actual temperature right there. So that continues to work, but the weather trend is something that is basically an Eve app feature that the Home app can't do anything with that.
So I see also it does the temperature and humidity, but also barometric pressure. Now, is that at least a sensor that you would also see in the HomeKit app, or does the Home app only see temperature and humidity?
The Home app only sees those two values. That is just sort of...
That's a limitation of HomeKit.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Gotcha.
To be clear, too, the new Eve weather will be replacing the Eve degree. And then that leaves you with your lineup. You have the Eve weather, which is indoor-outdoor, because it still has like the IPX3 weather resistance, so it can go in your house or outside your house. And then you have the Eve room, which is very similar. I think it has like the temperature and humidity, but it also has your air quality too. Your new Eve weather, you didn't just add more information onto that display. You actually made it bigger too, right? Do you think we're likely to see that bigger display? Like, party on over to the Eve room side of things?
So one of the things we try to make clearer with a name change as well is sort of where would you put these devices? And we really see Eve weather and also previously Eve degree as an outdoor product. So basically you'd have one of these or maybe two on each side of your house outside. It's really built for outdoor weather and all of that. And indoors, you'd use Eve Room, basically. And while the display has gotten bigger now of Eve Weather, the device dimensions didn't change. So it's still that compact form factor. It's many people who haven't seen it in person are finding it to be surprisingly small. We try to convey that on the images that we have, but it's really a really elegant, compact device. And that hasn't changed with the new version. So basically the outer dimensions remain the same and the display has just grown a little bit. For Eve Room, we don't really have that issue that we had with Eve Weather of needing to make the display bigger to put in more information, because Eve Room is a little more advanced because it has an e-ink display. So what you can do with Eve Room is just toggle through different screens depending on what the most valuable information for you is, whether that's air quality, temperature, or humidity. But all of the other values will also be visible alongside that. So that is already possible with that product. So we really don't see much of a reason to just increase the display for the sake of change, I would say, because we have received pretty good feedback on the overall dimensions of the device. So we don't really want to make the device itself much larger. So I think we're in a really, really good spot there.
So looking at weather stations and, you know, different kind of sensors you could put outside for this, what do you think the value is that someone would get? It's $70 for this, and you get the temperature, you get the humidity, barometric pressure, and all that. What kind of value do you think this is going to give people that will help them justify that kind of cost?
So you're basically saying you think it's kind of expensive.
I didn't say that. I'm saying, I mean, someone might say...
So someone might say that. You know, it always compares what you... it always depends on what you compare it to. Right. So if you compare it to like your cheap $20 sensor that just sits there, a little puck that just gives you current temperature and humidity, well then, yeah, if that's what you need, you probably don't need Eve Weather because it's much more than that. So we kind of see it more along the lines of like really a weather station. So if you look at just standard outdoor weather stations, those usually range from like $50, and they can be like really nice and fancy ones for $150 and more, that really don't do anything but display that information on a screen. And with Eve Weather, you have that beautiful product that you can just look at and get that information. Plus, you have everything that's enabled through the app. And that is really the real power of the product. So the real power is, if you're interested, what I did a couple of weeks ago, that it was super snowy in Germany, and it was like really, really, really cold. So naturally, I was wondering, was it the same last year? And that was just like a couple of taps in the Eve app away to just look at my temperature history and look how the temperature was in the past year. And at any time I can dive into and see how cold it was last night and that sort of thing. So if you enjoy that, then Eve Weather is the perfect product for you. If you just need like one value to get from Siri, like, to be honest, I'm not sure I would recommend Eve Weather for just that.
This episode is brought to you by Jamf. Now, I'm so excited that Jamf has come on because I have personally used Jamf in a corporate setting for 5+ years. Jamf is an incredible tool to remotely manage Apple devices from Macs to iPads to iPhones. If you work in IT or you're in charge of Apple devices across a team, whether it's a small team with just a few devices or many, I've personally managed 50+ devices using Jamf, and it is an incredible, I think, the best tool for managing Apple devices from an IT standpoint. You know, all the companies, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, have unique workflows to provision, encrypt, and deploy enterprise technology. That's why the idea of some unified endpoint management system has not worked successfully. But as Apple devices continue to grow, organizations doing bring your own devices, so people are bringing their iPhones and iPads to work, the need to provide Apple dedicated tools for IT and security has never been greater. Jamf is the only Apple enterprise management solution that covers everything you need to connect, manage, and secure Apple devices for your organization without negatively impacting the end user experience or requiring an IT department to even touch the device. And that's important. Sometimes some provisioning softwares and other companies, that end user gets a worse experience. Maybe some profile is doing something in the background, slowing down your device, and that never happens with Jamf. My experience using it across devices, Macs, iPads, and iPhones, the end user has an incredible experience, and the management tools on the admin side are second to none. You can deploy a shrink-wrapped Apple device straight from the factory to your staff. You can just ship it to them wherever they are, and when it arrives, they unbox it, power it on, and get right to work, and the settings and profiles that you've set up in Jamf automatically get applied. Jamf makes access to business-critical applications a seamless experience with single username and password. Just imagine the reduction in password resets for your IT team. Finally, while most security tools are created with Windows in mind, you can be assured Jamf's sole focus is on protecting your Macs and Apple devices. And with a history of same-day support for Apple OS releases, your devices will be secure no matter when your users update. More than 40,000 organizations rely on Jamf to keep devices connected, up to date, and secure while ensuring users have the resources they need and the world-class Apple experience they know, love, and expect. I've been using Jamf for years, way before they ever thought about sponsoring this episode, and it is an incredible tool for device management. I highly recommend you try it out. For Apple Insider listeners, unlock the power of Apple and Jamf today with a free 14-day trial. Try it totally for free. To get started, go to jamf.it/Apple Insider. That's jamf.it/Apple Insider. There's also a link in the show notes and in the article on the website. Again, I highly recommend you check it out. jamf.it/Apple Insider. Our thanks to Jamf for sponsoring this episode.
So I have one question that goes still with the Eve Weather and previously the Eve Degree. I always struggled to find a good placement for this device. Do you have any good recommendations on where to put it? Because I feel like if you put it anywhere where it's going to get any sun at all, like this thing is black with the aluminum casing, and mine always got really hot and would of course be inaccurate at that point because it's like just indirect sunlight absorbing heat. So do you have any I don't know. Like, I mean, some places they don't have a lot of shade going on, and you need kind of like that good spot to put this. Do you have any suggestions on where is good placement for either the Eve degree or the Eve weather?
Yeah, basically avoid what you were just saying, like putting it directly in a place that gets exposure from the sun. That is a problem for every temperature sensor that you can imagine. So what you want to do is just find a nice spot somewhere where at no time direct sunlight will reach the device. And if weather and previously Eve degree kind of makes it easy to pick and choose, because you can just place it somewhere like on an even surface that might be like a little corner where you have a table or something, or you can just mount it on a wall and find maybe something where you have something protruding that gives it a little shade throughout the day. So don't put it in direct sunlight, and everything else will be fine, because it is water resistant, so rain doesn't hurt it at all. There should be a place in every home where those conditions might be met.
I am excited for, since I got the Eve degree, you know, back then, we've moved. And now we actually have a porch on the front of our house, and we have a bunch of like wood columns going across the front of the porch. I'm going to be able to put this like right on the back of one of those columns. So it's like steadily outside.
That's perfect.
And not only that, but you'd be able to see like the display pretty much from like my window, or like you walk out the door and boom, there's your temperature and that weather forecast. So I'm excited. I actually have a place to put it this time.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. That's the same way I'm using mine. I actually have it on the wall outside, and I can see it through the window. So that's what I usually do. Just look out the window and see the real local temperature at a glance. And it's perfect for that. So yeah, that will be a nice spot for you.
All right. Well, Eve makes other products, and we'd love to know more about those as well. And, you know, Andrew actually mentioned the Flare a little earlier, and I was actually curious. I wanted to get one, and I went on the Eve website and Apple's website, and I don't see the Flare available anywhere. Can you tell us what's going on with that, or, you know, maybe if there's other lights maybe coming?
I really haven't checked the stock situation just now. But there are no immediate changes coming here, so we might be just sold out for a little while here because demand was too high. But yeah, that product, I love eFlare. It's really a great product. So I'm actually happy to see that many people have bought it, and we have trouble getting stock back. But yeah, I mean, like all of our portfolio, at some point everything will be moved to Thread. It's not just yet the case for eFlare. So yeah, the version that has existed so far will probably be back in stock soon.
That is good to know. I saw it was like completely wiped out on Amazon and everything. And it's seriously one of my favorite products. Like, I can see why Steven wants to go get one. Because if for anyone who hasn't seen the Flare, it's like a basketball-sized, you know, sphere that's like, you know, it's like white plastic, like a diffuser around it. The light in the center, it's got a spot to hang it, so you can hang it from whatever. It's battery-powered, has a little charging base on it. And it's portable, so you can take it around your house or outside your house and use this thing. So we've gone outside and like hung it from our patio before as like a nice diffused accent light. It's got all the colors you could do. And this is really, I was proud of this, guys. Mind you, we don't have kids. This was just for my wife and I. But at our old house, I took those little like glow-in-the-dark stars, and I covered an entire like wall in those little stick-on stars. And then I put the Eve Flare right in the center, and I turned it on just like to like 1% or 2%, and it was like a moon glowing, and it was really cool. And then we'd be able to automate it with the lights in the room and stuff like that. I was so proud. It looked really neat. Again, no children, just adults.
that sounds nice.
I'm excited for more of those to come. I'm excited for more people to get their hands on them. I feel like that was an underrated product, because you guys launched it in like the, I think like the UK or the EU before coming to the US. So it didn't get a lot of attention when it was made available stateside. It's such a unique product. Like, how many other portable home kit lights are there? I mean, I can't really name any of them.
It's super versatile. What I did once is I took it on a road trip, actually, when back in the day when that was still a thing. And that is just because you can actually move it out of your home. And thanks, here Bluetooth really is amazing because you can just take it with you and everything still works. You can just turn it off and on and change colors. Like even if you're out there in nature or somewhere. So it's really for many different scenarios, it's really a nice little mood lamp.
So when it comes to Eve, you know, looking to the future, what are some categories that you hope Apple actually adds to HomeKit? You know, we talked about how the Eve weather station, it has information like barometric pressure, but it can't communicate it to Apple HomeKit. But not just that, but are there other device categories? We had a listener question talk about washers and dryers recently. Any other categories that you guys at Eve hope Apple will add to HomeKit because you're excited about that product line?
From the top of my head, I can't really think of any because, like, we're not going to make washers and dryers just yet. We are actually pretty happy. I mean, we talked about this last time. HomeKit has evolved dramatically in the past 5 years, and lots of stuff has been added. One major thing that we were really, really happy about was the whole irrigation control thing because that empowered us to release Eve Aqua, which is one of my favorite products. There isn't really anything missing at this point, and I'm sure that it will continue to evolve. Things like air pressure, there also wouldn't be much value if that just appeared in the home app. You just have like some generic value that you can't do much with. It's kind of tied to what we do with historic data in the Eve app and having sort of that data history to look how it evolved over time. And just to be clear here, we do all of that through HomeKit still. So just because the home app isn't able to display it doesn't mean it's like something that hasn't anything to do with HomeKit. And all the communication we have is using the same mechanisms HomeKit is using. So even the historic data is completely encrypted, passed on through HomeKit. You see that because it's also using the same mechanisms if you access it remotely, for example. So that requires a home hub. It goes through your home hub. So it's all really 100% HomeKit what we do. And then it's just a matter of priorities, whether you really need that information in the home app and what kind of benefits does that give you, or maybe it's fine to have that in a third-party app like the Eve app. So really you can do a lot of stuff with HomeKit even though it might not appear in the home app.
A couple things. One, free idea for both Apple and Eve. One of the categories that I would want, I don't know if you count as a category, but features that I think HomeKit should add is additional support for stuff on weather stations, because we've been looking at the Eve weather coming out and we look at other weather stations like the Natatmo one, and it has like I want to be able to track like rain and wind as well in the home app. And I think, or in HomeKit in general, but I think like rain would be very useful even for you guys, because one gives you additional modules that you could create that measure those things, but you could tie those together of like when it rains, turn off your, you know, Eve Aqua. And I know you already have done a lot with the confines that you have, like the shortcuts that check for the weather for the day and if it's going to rain, pause your schedule, stuff like that. But I think even just having an actual sensor that detects rainfall, you can run your automations based on that, and you'd be able to run any other automation that way too, whatever else you have in your app, like it rains, send you an alert to take an umbrella or whatever it is that you can run through the Shortcuts app. So I think adding weather station information, like not we have the pressure in there and you got temperature, humidity, but wind and rainfall would be two pretty handy things. And then second of all, you mentioned Eve Aqua, and I guess we should have started with this at the beginning of the show too. Not only did Eve announce the Eve Weather is a new product, but you guys have announced the new version of the Eve Energy is coming to the US, and that's the one with Thread support. So you guys introduced a new, more compact version in 2020. In 2021, you have a new Thread-enabled version. It launched first overseas, and now it's coming here to the US. And you announced that the software update, firmware update for Eve Aqua is landing in April, I want to say. So just in time for people to start watering stuff,
yeah,
that thread-enabled update for second gen.
Yeah, exactly. We're excited about that. And we actually worked really hard to just make this happen for the beginning of summer now, hopefully in many areas in the world, at least here in Europe. We expect that to come right now. Beyond Eve Weather, as you have said, Eve Energy will get that threat hardware revision in April in the US. Also in the UK in May. So with that, Europe is already here. So we have in the European market, in the US and in the UK, not only the US, also Canada, I have to say. We have that product now with Threat. And that makes life so much better because we talked about this last time, when it has that router functionality and can just extend your Threat mesh network. So it's really a key product if you have a couple of these scattered across your home, you never have to worry about connectivity ever again. And that's really exciting. And you don't have to buy a bunch of HomePods to achieve that. So that is awesome. And then Eve Aqua, we have been planning ahead. So all the devices that have been sold after June of last year will get a free firmware update. And then the next summer with Eve Aqua is also with Threat.
Very cool. Well, Tim, for you personally, what is your favorite Eve product that maybe you use personally in your home, or one that you're most excited about? Could be the new one, but what's your favorite?
That's a tough decision. You know, I have a bunch of these in my home, of course. So I really love what Eve Weather and Eve Room are giving me on information. Just like it's really essential for me to have like temperature in each room and sort of look at how it developed. All of that it will hurt me if you would take that away from me at this point, probably. But then there's also another duo that I really love, which is Eve Thermo and Eve Aqua. And basically, they complement each other because I use the one thing is only important in the winter and the other one is only important in the summer, basically. And it just sits there the rest of the time. So Eve Thermo, for this is a European problem to have in many countries, per room heating with thermostatic radiator valves. And Eve Thermo is a really, really convenient product to just automate that and not bother about running around, turning down your heating when you're going away, having the right temperature, sitting on your couch and telling Siri to turn up the temperature a couple of degrees. That is just super convenient. So I wouldn't want to miss that. And then also in the summer, having that automation of your irrigation system also is just so convenient. So yeah, those would probably be my picks. I know it's not one, but maybe that narrowed it down a little bit from the portfolio we have.
Do you have another HomeKit product that you really enjoy that's not Eve branded?
Oh, of course. I mean, there are, I think I have about 100 HomeKit accessories in my home.
Oh, wow.
Naturally, not all of these are Eve, and definitely I like to try out pretty much everything that other companies have in the market. And there are a couple of amazing products out there. So which one would I highlight here? I really enjoyed getting the Logitech Circle video doorbell. I think that is just from the HomeKit integration side of things, it's so Apple, I would say. It just works and everything is great. Like having somebody ring your door with HomeKit Secure Video linked to your photos album, and then like having your HomePod announced that, I don't know, Jörg, we had this guy before. Jörg is at your door. That is truly the Apple magic here. And the Logitech Circle, I don't know the actual name, Circle View Video Doorbell, yeah, I think it is. So that just fulfills that promise beautifully. So I love that. In Europe, we have a door locking solution by a company called Nuki. It's a wordplay that English speaking people will get immediately. I don't think many Germans do. So Nuki. And again, it just once you get used to like having your door automated and having it open once you arrive home, and just having all that security in there, because for door locking solutions, what we as Eve value so much, the whole privacy thing and security thing, that's even more important in many areas if you have a thing connected to your door that can open that door and let people in. So I think here HomeKit again and a privacy centric implementation of that that's not exposed to some other cloud or something is very, very valuable, and that product also fulfills that promise. So yeah, I think those would be the two products that I really do enjoy that are not Eve branded.
This was great. I loved it. I'm excited for an updated version of the Eve Degree, Eve Weather coming in, and more Thread stuff through our homes. This is the point now, and I'm sure Steven, you're probably getting to this too, where Tim with your 100 plus devices, where you're going to have to start replacing things with, you know, updated versions. And the crazy thing with HomeKit is the fact that everything lasts so long. Like, I have devices, I'm running my Eve devices from when Eve announced its first products, however many years ago, like three or so, like houses ago or whatever, where we lived. And now I'm going to finally start replacing some of them with updated versions. Not because they don't still work, but because we have like these Thread ones that are going to enable a little bit, you know, maybe better connectivity or functionality. So I'm excited. I'm going to definitely have to, because I don't have any more spots to plug in like smart plugs. Like, I'm smart plugged out, but I'd rather have a Thread version in there. So I'm going to have to kick someone to the curb. Some plug is going to have to come out and get replaced with the new Eve Degree or the new Eve Energy for sure.
Very cool. Well, Tim, obviously we'll link people to the Eve Home website and the new Eve Weather Station, which will be available in late March, and you can find more information there and the article that Andrew wrote on it. Anything else that people can find or anywhere else you would point people for Eve stuff?
Well, just our website, I think, is a good place. Your website, of course, the Apple Insider page, the articles are always very valuable. So that's a good place to check out. But yeah, we have all information on our products on our website as well. I already pointed to all the Thread stuff last time, so I think that should be enough to keep people busy.
Yes, and we'll include that blog post again as well on Thread. And people are still asking questions about it, and so definitely refer to that blog post in show notes from Eve to learn more about it. And again, we'd love to hear from you, Andrew and I. You can tweet at us. Those Twitter handles are in the show notes. You can also email us there. Don't forget to give us a 5 to 25 star rating in Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate that. Help us be discovered by more HomeKit lovers like yourself. And don't forget to check out Apple Insider Daily. You get the top Apple headlines in just a few minutes on the Apple Insider Daily podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll catch you next time.